This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, welcome to this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those of you still keeping track, this is show number 379. It's sponsored by Nextiva, your only choice for small businesses that want to do business in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Microsoft Office 365. They're providing tools for you to leverage technology so your business can be successful. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to talk to The Apprentice. I don't mean just any apprentice. I mean the original winner of The Apprentice, Bill Rancic. He's going to be talking about what is Donald Trump really like as a boss? What does he think of him as a presidential candidate? And he's going to talk about how small business owners need to stay connected if they're going to be successful. We're also going to be celebrating Small Business Week in a special segment sponsored by Microsoft. We're talking to companies that are using technology to leverage their business. But first, when I ran my companies, there were days when I questioned my own leadership abilities. I think we all go through this if we're honest with ourselves. So what do you do at these low points, and what do you do when you really face that special crisis? Here to help is Harry Hudson. He's got a new book out. It's called Navigating an Organizational Crisis When Leadership Matters the Most. Harry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
Now, of course, I'm always reminded of what our mayor, Rahm Emanuel, says is never let a good crisis go to waste.
Well, that's great advice. The fact is that crises do happen on the watch on leadership watches all the time, and so you might as well put them to work.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things you said to prepare for these crises, because a crisis is going to happen, you talked about something called pre-resilience. What is that?
Yes, pre-resilience. Maybe in your language, it has to do with the word. I know you use the word bounce. I think
right.
It's a great idea. Pre-resilience is what you have going into the crisis. You don't have to learn it. You don't have to practice it. But it's much more of an inventory and a reflection on your part that gets you in touch with the experiences you've had in the past when you've been under pressure and how you've handled them, with your network of support, with some of your core values and some of the your native attributes you have that just will help you out. And that we use pre-resilience to really underscore all of those things.
And so is that like to go back and say, well, when I had a crisis previously, this is the way I responded. So you know something, I'll be able to respond well in the future.
Well, I think that's right. And also we would say, because our book is not a book about everything is going to come out fine and here's the rational approach to dealing with an irrational situation. Yes, it helps to have that going in, but there are no guarantees.
So what kind of example should you play in your mind is saying, well, you know, I fell, I hurt myself, I had a broken leg, and I didn't panic, I went to the hospital. Does that translate over to more serious crises?
Of course it does. Some of the most mundane and even juvenile kinds of events that have happened to us teach us lessons. And so when we can draw from those, we're stronger for it.
And so there are a lot of companies out there that do a really good job of this, and then the companies that do a really poor job of handling crises. What's the difference? Can you give us some examples, Harry?
Sure. One of the key difference for us is as we understand it, is this whole question of leadership. And some crises overwhelm organizations, and there's no two ways about it. There's nothing you could have done. You couldn't have seen the thing happen or coming at you. We use the word rogue wave to kind of bring that point home. Some crises just are sudden and spontaneous and significant, and there's no one to blame for them. So how leaders respond is the focus of our work. And some leaders respond better than others is the short answer. And those who respond best are, shall we say, the most human about things. They don't hide their feelings from others. They pay attention to what others are going through. They listen well. And, of course, all effective leaders in crises respond immediately. They don't go running in their offices and hide. They get out there on the front line, and they show up.
So is usually what people have done in the past, is that a good predictor of what people have done will do in the future? Or can you actually change your response so you're better at managing crises?
Well, we think you can. Otherwise, the book would not make any sense. In other words, we think you can do some things. You can be reflective on where you've come from. You can be a good leader day to day. If our book is about leadership in a crisis, the real story here is, I think, is the best way to be a leader in a crisis is to be a leader a good leader, the best you can every single day. That builds trust. It builds the kinds of leadership skills and qualities you need, adherence to values, being able to, again, pay attention to people around you, building teams, and sometimes the cold, hard analytical tasks as well. In other words, how do you really prepare for the stuff you can't even see coming? You know, all those unknown unknowns. What do you do with that? So there's a whole bevy of skills and attributes and experiences. This is why leadership is hard. I think one of the things that that is a mistake among many leaders is, oh boy, I have the new job, I'm the leader, and they like what comes with it, but sometimes they look right past what they're going to be responsible for when the chips are really down.
So give us an example of someone that you think has done a really good job in business of responding to an organizational crisis.
We were taken most with the story of a man named Rod West, who was the operations head of Entergy, the oil and gas, the utility in New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina blasted the whole coast. And what he did and had to do to restore power in New Orleans, struck us as an amazing story. Picture this. He was first, even in front of the news casts, to see the real damage brought by the storm. And he had gathered his team of workers off-site, out of harm's way, in Baton Rouge, and then had to go tell them, look, I've seen it. It's worse than anyone really knows and has reported yet, and that we have to wade in there, and wade is the right word, and bring the city back to life. Now, the issue there is that people, of course, who lived there were wondering about their own homes and their own families. And Rod told them right up front, he says, for most of you in this room, your houses are underwater. Now, what does that say? Why is that such an important leadership act? It's because he told the truth right up front and communicated that he would be telling the truth right through the crisis as they went forward. There's no doubt what people had to do. Not everyone made it, of course, but that notion of telling the truth and telling it fast is a signal event in the history of the restoration of New Orleans. And what Rod went on from there to do was face resistance from all sides. And his story is very complicated and yet wonderful. What comes through is the sterling character of the leader. And his ability to rally his people and really to be the spokesperson for what really had happened in New Orleans.
So, Harry, you talk about telling the truth, and I think a lot of leaders in theory would agree with you, but then when it comes down to it, they're afraid to tell the truth because they want to spin it, or they don't think they have the ultimate truth yet, or they don't think that, as Jack Nicholson always says, that they can't handle the truth.
Exactly. You're on, I would say, the pivot point of the book and of leadership in a crisis. And that is, we say, tell the truth and tell it fast. And there are all kinds of reasons why leaders don't. Sometimes they don't feel like they have the facts at hand yet. Sometimes they feel they don't have permission from maybe the legal team or the communications team or the HR team. Sometimes they feel unaccustomed to these kinds of communications. They're used to talking about facts and figures. Now they have to talk about people and recovery. And so, there are lots of reasons why telling the truth and telling it fast is not second nature for many leaders. But when it is, it works. It works so well. People will be carried along with the fact that you're doing your best to get to the bottom of it and that you're doing your best to tell the truth. And if you get a few facts wrong along the way, then you fix those later. You say, I said this and that really wasn't the case. The information I have now is better. Here's the new story. So, yes, that is absolutely pivotal, and everything comes from that. And there's so many stories when that hasn't happened, and where organizations have dithered, or they've sugarcoated, or they've gone into sort of techno-legal speak, and that hasn't helped anyone.
It gets to be a problem. Well, Harry, I appreciate you being on the show. The title book is called Navigating an Organizational Crisis When Leadership Matters Most. If you want to reach Harry, it's www.harryhudson.com. Harry, thanks again.
Thank you, Barry. I enjoyed it.
Coming up, we're going to talk to the original winner of The Apprentice, Bill Rancic. He's going to be talking about what is Donald Trump really like as a boss. And he's going to talk about how small business owners need to stay connected if they're going to be successful. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. We're just getting word of a possible accident on I-80. Crews are looking for it. It's around Manuka. Not sure yet if it's east or west. I'll have more on my next report. Making your way through Brookfield, there's an injury accident. It's at 31st Street, just east of Maple Avenue. In or out on the Edens, wide open. The Kennedy, a 20-minute trek into and out of the airport. Express lanes are closed until 8 a.m. On the Dan Ryan, those express lanes are also closed for overnight road work. And that's from 51st into Pershing. All traffic is being forced into the local lanes at the slip ramp, and that's happening until 7 a.m. No delays on the Stevenson or on the Eisenhower. Sunny skies today, highs in the mid-70s, currently 60. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
We're so excited about our sold-out golf outing at the Bolingbrook Golf Club coming up on Thursday, June 16th, to benefit Operation Support Our Troops America.
If you weren't able to get in this year, don't worry. You can still reserve a tee time at the Bolingbrook Golf Club anytime this spring or summer by visiting bolingbrookgolfclub.com.
And thanks to the sponsors who are making our golf outing possible.
Agostino's Rock and Roll Deli, Fox River Periodontics, Kyojo, Remax Professionals, Automated Systems Incorporated, and Pearl Mortgage.
You already turned to Staples for business supplies, but did you know its experienced print team can help your business with print and marketing services? From business cards to brochures to presentations, you'll have a dedicated print expert on your side who makes sure your projects are completed on time and on budget. Need help updating your logo? There's a team of designers just for that, and they'll make sure that the final product is always up to your brand standards. Put Staples print expertise to work for your business. Visit staplesadvantage.com/print or your local Staples store.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Let's get sentimental. Think about how much your father means to you. Now ask, what am I getting Dad for Father's Day on June 19th? This is gross, but did you know that 82% of all people don't know that you're supposed to change pillows every 2 years or less? Why? Because pillows absorb dead skin, dirt, skin oils, and dust mites that cause allergies, acne, asthma, and who knows what else. So if you haven't already done so, you need a washable MyPillow, and so does your dad. Heck, I may even get one for my dog, Bunky. With a 10-year warranty, it's a great gift and health investment. And you'll sleep better, too. I do. That's why MyPillow is the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-489-0201. Use the promo code Amy for the 2-for-1 offer. Keep one for you. Give one to Dad. Do it now, 800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Amy, 800-489-0201.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560. The Answer.
What is it like to go from working with Donald Trump to starting your own company? Entrepreneur and small business expert Bill Rancic is teaming up with AT&T discuss how the digital revolution has put business into motion. From running a multi-million dollar company and working for Donald Trump, developing real estate in Chicago, Bill is the definition of a true entrepreneur. He got his first big break when he won the first season of NBC's The Apprentice. After winning, Bill was the first candidate hired by the Trump Organization and took charge of the construction of the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago. Bill continued to work for the Trump Organization for 2 years, has built several winning businesses on his own, like his new restaurant, RPM Italian, in Washington, D.C. Bill, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Barry.
Well, the first thing I got to ask you is, what is it really like to work for Donald Trump?
You know, for me, it was a tremendous experience. You know, it was a competition where I got to compete with other great competitors from very prestigious schools and backgrounds. And certainly I loved the opportunity and, you know, it helped me embrace small business, you know. And as we're kicking off Small Business Week, I certainly learned to appreciate the value of small business, what they've done for our economy and how they're really the backbone of America. You know, a lot of people forget that small business employs more people than any other sector of business out there.
Yeah, there's no question. So what was he like as a boss versus the kind of boss that you really are when you have your own businesses?
Well, you know, he was a great boss to me, treated me very fairly and very honorably. And, you know, he's someone who taught me the importance of, you know, small business and you know, using all the tools and resources that are out there to make sure that you have success in small business.
Now, you've really had a firsthand look at people's personal and professional choices and their values. What's really the hardest part of surviving that daily ethical challenge when you're running a small business?
Well, I think the key for small businesses to be successful is to be agile. I think, you know, where a lot of small businesses fall into the trap is they stay in their comfort zone. They have their blinders on. They don't react. They don't adjust. They don't adapt to what's happening, and therefore they become extinct. And I think those who say, well, wait a minute, you know, social media, new platform. I'm sure you use it for your show, Barry.
Right.
You know, I'm going to communicate with my customers. I'm going to let my customers communicate with me via social media. But a lot of times small businesses misuse it. And that's a great advancement when it's used properly. But oftentimes they're using it just to sell their products or their services. And they're not providing real content. And, for example, here at RPM Italian, we give them updates on the construction. We have them weigh in on new recipes. And we showcase the new dishes that we're sending. We give them recipes. We're providing them with some useful information that they can apply in their lives, and it creates a real connection with our followers rather than just trying to sell them something.
Right. They feel like they're part of the actual process, and they get a stake in the new restaurant.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Also, teleconferencing. You know, we're in a mobile society, my goodness. And you know, now we have restaurants in Chicago and D.C., and teleconferencing has come a long way. Let me tell you, it's no longer just a conference call. It's video conferencing. It's sharing presentations, you know, and sharing screens in real time. It's being able to have training sessions without even being there. So, you know, it's a great advancement. It's helped make us more efficient and limit some of our air travel and really focus on growing our business.
So, Bill, how does a small business owner really adapt to the everywhere society since their to-do list is already way too big?
Well, yeah, you know, everyone's got a big to-do list. It's certainly for me and for us, my partners and I, it's about having the right team. And, you know, I always say, if you want to be successful in business, you have to learn how to be the conductor, and I mean the conductor of an orchestra. You know, the conductor of an orchestra has all these expert musicians in his or her pit, and they play those instruments perfectly. The conductor himself or herself is not an expert at playing all those instruments, but gets them all to play in harmony with one another. And that's the key to small business. You got to check your ego at the door. You've got to realize, hey, wait a minute. Maybe there's people that are smarter than I am in dealing with social media or in finding a good location or whatever the case may be, whatever business you're in. You can't be a know-it-all, and you've got to be willing to have smart people around you.
And, Bill, that's a great point because a lot of small business owners, they try to do everything themselves, and they have to realize unless they only get leverage in their organization by hiring other employees. If they don't have that leverage and all they do is have a job, not a company.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I always say, you know, when you're able to make money and not be there,
that's right.
You know, that's a really good sign.
That's right.
You're probably doing something right.
That's right. We're talking with Bill Rancic. He's the original winner of NBC's The Apprentice. He's got a new restaurant opened up called RPM Italian. Bill, you know, the landscape is ever-changing for small business. What do you see as really the key opportunities, but also the key obstacles for these small business owners?
Well, I'll start with the obstacles first. I think one is access to capital. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Oftentimes, small business owners have a difficult time getting money to expand, to grow, and get in different markets. But again, I come back to that word agility. You know, we're in a society now where maybe you don't just have to go to a bank. By the way, I'm in the middle of a construction site here, so if you hear anything, we're about 3 weeks from opening the doors here at RPM.
It's all good. So
you may hear some drilling and sawing in the background.
It's all good.
But getting back to answer your question, you know, agility is key, and when you're trying to get money to grow, you have to look at alternative solutions. You know, there's crowdfunding. There's ways to use social media to get people to give you donations in exchange for product. There's a lot of alternative ways to get funding, and I think that's important. But I think another obstacle is oftentimes it's overlooked is security. Small business owners think they're not susceptible to cyber attacks and cyber breaches, and they are. And when they get hit, oftentimes they don't recover. You know, we read about the big companies getting their data breached in the newspapers, and we hear about them on TV. But when a small business gets hit, boy, oh, boy, it's devastating. It can be debilitating, and it should be preventable. You know, AT&T has a great solution, AT&T Mobile Device Security. It's a reasonable solution. It doesn't cost a fortune, and it can really help you become more proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah, Bill, the statistics there are astounding. I saw one the other day that said something like 75% of businesses that get really hit hard by a cyber attack never come back to business. They go out of business. It's amazing.
That's right. And you know what? You don't want to have hindsight saying, God almighty, I wish I would have just gotten, you know, this simple solution, and it could have prevented that cyber attack or that data breach, and I'd still be in business, you know, operating, you know, as I was. So, you know, hindsight oftentimes is very painful. So you want to be proactive rather than reactive in that regard.
So we see a lot of small business owners are actually using virtual workforces these days. How do you really see technology? How do you use technology so you can employ those remote employees or remote freelancers?
Well, you know what? You're right. We the traditional office environment is almost becoming obsolete in many cases. And so many small businesses have people working from home, working on the road, working remotely. There's one solution I like. It's a GPS technology tracker on their mobile device. It helps you keep track of where your employees are, what they're doing, and it helps you to keep them on time. So, you know, it's a simple solution. I think all small businesses who have those workforces that are out in the field that are remote should definitely embrace that, because knowledge is power. And when you live in reality, you're far more successful than when you wish, you know, you're living in a fantasy and you think that they're doing a certain thing, but they're not.
So how do the I remember that my kids were upset when I used to put GPS trackers on their phones. How do employers feel about that?
Well,
employees,
I mean,
feel about that.
Working in the company, I mean, I think, you know, it does a number of things. It keeps you more efficient. It allows you to, you know, communicate with your employees easier. And if, as things change throughout the day, you're able to say, hey, hang on, you know, Tom Smith's over here. Why don't we route him over here where they need us? So it really makes you a lot more efficient in making decisions.
And so do you really believe that, because a lot of companies, they have bring your own devices to work, right? Do you really believe that there should be a separate business smartphone from a personal smartphone?
You know, I think it just depends on the business owner and their own philosophy. You know, I think there's a lot of ways you could approach that. But there's a great resource for all small businesses, att.com/agility. It helps answer a lot of questions that people might have and introduces them to a lot of very affordable solutions that help empower small business owners.
Well, you know, now most customers are interacting with small businesses, Bill, on their smartphone. What kinds of things can we do, or what kind of things do you look to do to enhance their experience when we're on this little device?
Well, for us, again, we embrace social media. We're able to get instant feedback from our customers. So in the restaurant business, you know, if someone wasn't 110% satisfied, usually they let us know about it via social media, and we fix it immediately. And that's the key. You've got to be willing to respond. You've got to take those different feedback outlets seriously and monitor them very closely. But unfortunately, I'm getting the wrap sign. I'm so sorry. We've got a whole line of interviews. I hate to do this. But, again, I just want to encourage everyone to go to att.com/agility, and they can get more information about all the things that we talked about today.
Bill, thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to thank AT&T for sponsoring this segment. Now, if this is the year that you're going to get your business unstuck, you got to think about it. I know you got into business because you wanted to control your own destiny. You wanted to make more money. You wanted to make a real difference in this world. Well, this is the year where you really do get your small business unstuck. So if you want to do that, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, Barry@Moltz.com. Be right back. This is AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about our sold-out golf outing at the Bolingbrook Golf Club coming up on Thursday, June 16th, to benefit Operation Support Our Troops America.
If you weren't able to get in this year, don't worry. You can still reserve a tee time at the Bolingbrook Golf Club anytime this spring or summer by visiting bolingbrookgolfclub.com.
And thanks to the sponsors who are making our golf outing possible.
Dependable Construction Company Incorporated, Charity Golf International, Dr. Amy & Associates, MJ Miller & Company Jewelers in Barrington, and Pearl Mortgage.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Egypt's president's urging the media not to speculate about why Egypt Air Flight 804 crashed. Knowing smoke was in the plane provides clues but rules out nothing. Sky News' Inda Brady.
Only the black boxes will give a full picture of the last minutes of MS 804, and finding them is a race against time. The batteries of their locator beacons could run out in as little as 28 days' time.
In the fog and the rain, Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist is upset at Pimlico.
But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Exaggerator with a win on NBC Sports at the 141st running of the Preakness, and a much-needed bundle of joys on the way for two Eastern Black Rhinos in Iowa, Ayana and Keanu, at a zoo in Des Moines expecting a baby this fall. The Black Rhinos are critically endangered, only about 5,000 left in the wild. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. Making your way on the Eatons in either direction, wide open. The outbound Kennedy at North Avenue exit ramp. Watch out for a crash. In and out between O'Hare and downtown, 20 minutes. On the inbound Dan Ryan, express lanes are closed for road work overnight. 51st to Pershing, all traffic forced into those local lanes at the slip ramp until 7 a.m. This report is brought to you by CC's Pizza. Ready for an adventure in flavor? CC's brings three new flatbread pizzas to the unlimited buffet. Try the new spinach Alfredo, chicken, bacon club, and honey barbecued chicken. More flavor to explore for the same great value. Just five and change, only at CC's. Better believe it. Well, we're looking at a beautiful day on tap. Sunshine galore, highs in the mid-70s. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Discover Westmont, a community nestled in the heart of DuPage County. With top-notch schools, beautiful, affordable housing, and excellent dining and shopping, Westmont makes a great place to live, work, and play. Choose Westmont. Discover how your business can flourish and grow with a wonderful central location providing rapid access to Chicago's key expressways, airports, and many family-friendly amenities. Add quick transportation on the Burlington train line, and that means simple and easy travel for everyone. Westmont is committed to working collaboratively with you to facilitate increased inquiries about your family or business relocation. We'll help your company navigate to Westmont for a great experience. Call Larry Forsberg at Westmont Economic Development at 630-824-9337. That's 630-824-9337 to find out about incentives that can help you plan your development, relocation, or expansion. Discover all Westmont has to offer. For more information, visit choosewestmont.com. That's choosewestmont.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, of course, creating a team so you can leverage your business is critical for every small business owner. Here to talk about that is Mario Musa. He teaches in the executive program at Wharton School of Executive Education. Dr. Musa co-wrote a book with Richard Schell called The Art of Woo, Using Strategic Persuasion to Sell Your Ideas. He's got a new book out. It's called Committed Teams, Three Steps to Inspiring Passion and Performance. Mario, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Great to be here.
Well, of course, if you don't have good teams, you really have no leverage, and therefore you can't make money in your company. But people think that every team is the same. But in your book, you talk about there's actually five common types of teams. What are they?
Sure. Virtual teams, leadership teams, innovation teams, startup teams, and committees. And we talk about how to make all of them work well.
Wow, this just got a lot more complicated. So how do you identify the team that you have? I guess it's in some ways it's situational.
Yeah, absolutely. Every team is different, and it, you know, is special in its own way. But we have identified a few things to focus on that will help you get the most out of your team.
And so, how do you do that?
Well, there's a framework that we developed after looking at lots and lots of teams. We call it the 3x3. And what we found is high-performing teams, no matter, you know, what kind of team they are, whether they're a virtual team, an innovation team, or a committee, basically, they focus on three things: goals, roles, and norms. And then what they do is from time to time they step back and they check to see if they're still aligned with those three things, the goals, roles, and norms. And then they work on closing the gap between what they say they want to do and what they're actually doing. So when you put all that together, you have what we call the 3x3, goals, roles, and norms, and then three steps: commit, check, and close.
So I think we're all familiar with the goals, what roles we have. What are norms?
Norms are the way you work together, and we found that there are three kinds of norms or rules, you could think of it that way, that are especially important: how you share information, how you make decisions, and how you resolve conflicts. Information sharing, that's just about staying in touch with each other, good communication. Turns out that's a little harder than a lot of us think it is. And we could talk about why that is. Decision-making, you know, teams have to get things done. So it's important to have a discussion about how you're going to make decisions and move forward on an issue. How you do it, there are a number of different ways in which you could do it. One of the most important things, though, is to be on the same page about how you make decisions. And then finally, conflict. It's important to talk about conflict because whenever you put a group of people together, you're going to have differences, you know, different styles, different priorities, and so on. So really important to share your thoughts and feelings about conflict and then have a discussion about how you resolve conflicts when they come up.
So, Mario, what do you find is the difference between people who are very committed to a team, people that are all in, and people that are just there because it's their job?
Yeah. People are committed when they have an opportunity to talk about what's important to them, and to talk about their priorities. One thing that we discovered in our research is, and it sounds simple when you say it, but often we forget this: people have multiple commitments. So in today's world of work, people are on 5, 6 or more teams. And what that means is that typically people have multiple commitments to various teams, but then, of course, they also have commitments outside of work: friends, family, community. So, first step is to talk about your multiple commitments and how much you can give to a particular team and its set of tasks. And then the second thing that's really important is making people feel like they can speak their minds. What we know is that most often at work, people don't. They don't speak their minds because they don't feel safe. They might feel like if they speak up, somehow they might damage their position, or they just might not feel safe to speak up because they're afraid of not looking good. So having a discussion about priorities, commitments, and then creating an environment where people feel like they can speak their minds turns out to be really important to getting the most out of a team.
So, Mary, in the last 3 seconds we have, what are your best tips for making virtual teams work? Because it's very different being there and trying to work together when you're remote.
Yeah. Most important thing you do in a virtual team is actually everything you would do on a face-to-face team, but just do it a little bit more carefully. Because what you don't have working virtually is the cues, social cues that you get when you're working face-to-face. So, for example, when you're on a virtual team, you might want to set aside some time to get to know each other. That would happen more naturally when you're face-to-face, but when you're working virtually, you'll just have to be a whole lot more deliberate about that. So do everything that you do when you're working face-to-face, but just do it a little bit more deliberately and carefully.
Mara, thanks for being on the show. The title book is called Committed Teams, 3 Steps to Inspiring Passion and Performance. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Up next, we're celebrating Small Business Week in a special segment sponsored by Microsoft. We're talking to companies that are using technology to lever their business. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. In or out on the Edens, wide open on the Kennedy between O'Hare and downtown. It's 20 minutes outbound at North Avenue. Crews cleared up that crash on the exit ramp. Express lanes are closed until 8 a.m. Eisenhower coming inbound. Heads up for barricades blocking 2 left lanes, 355 to Mill until 8 a.m. Between Thorndale and downtown, easy at under a half hour. Stevenson is wide open on the Dan Ryan. Overnight road work closes the express lanes inbound from 51st to Pershing. All traffic being forced into the local lanes at the slip ramp until 7 a.m. Now, once you get into those local lanes, barricades take out 2 left lanes from 51st to 47th. Between 95th and downtown, right now, still just 15 minutes. Sunny skies today, beautiful highs in the mid-70s. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, we're celebrating Small Business Week all this month in a special segment sponsored by Microsoft. We're talking to companies that are using technology to leverage their business. My guest this week is Marshall Maxine. He's the founder and president of eSlide. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barry.
Well, tell us a little about eSlide and where you find the most success.
Well, eSlide is a company that we specialize in doing presentations. We primarily work with PowerPoint, and we've been doing this for 15 years, and PowerPoint or Microsoft has always been a significant part of our business.
So how can a company specialize in PowerPoint? Because I thought the whole point of PowerPoint was that people could do their own presentations.
Well,
or that just gets us bad PowerPoint.
Yeah, so the success of eSlide, and as a small business and sort of a niche that we help people, corporate executives, small businesses, to do their PowerPoint, is that PowerPoint is easy enough to do by yourself. You can do it yourself. There's millions of people and probably literally hundreds of thousands of presentations created a day by many people. But what we focus on is presentations that are high stakes. People really need it to look great. So they come to us to do things that they can't do themselves in PowerPoint.
And so I guess I believe that the visual representation things is so important, because visuals a lot of times communicate things a lot better than just a series of bullets.
Yeah, as even some good bullets can really be helpful. I kind of think that it's, you know, humans are visual people. It can help you communicate information much faster than without doing a visual, such as even this radio call. If I could use some visuals with it, I could say the same things much faster if I had some visuals to help me say the key messages that we would be trying to get across.
So why do you think that visuals work better?
Because basically people love visuals. They love pictures. I mean, you know, Facebook, to everything that they see on the computer. I think when you're doing if you're presenting in a meeting room and you don't have visuals, keeping people's attention is hard, because they have these visual things in their pockets. They have phones, they have tablets, and other devices that they're going to be looking at and distracted from you if you don't keep their attention. If you're a really good speaker and you keep their attention without visuals, that can work too. But most people are not good enough to keep people's attention without some support visuals that add to the message. I mean, how about yourself? You use them, don't you?
Of course I use them. So Marshall, give us an idea of the magnitude or the scale of the amount of PowerPoint presentations and slides you do every single year.
We do a few thousand presentation projects, and again, probably 95% of them are Microsoft PowerPoint. And we probably could do a few hundred thousand PowerPoint visuals a year, maybe even a million, because if
wow.
each deck might be 25 to 50 slides, and we're doing thousands of those.
Now, are people still presenting over large screens, or are people presenting more? Are people presenting on their smartphones these days?
You know, I think the trend there, I see a big difference in the last few years, where it's changed. Where it used to be just they would come to us only when they're presenting on a large screen, big event, big audience, few hundred people, et cetera, where now more and more people are coming to us where they're presenting it, either sending it via email, or they're doing a web meeting, an online meeting, or they are presenting it, you know, they're sitting at lunch and they want to show it on their tablet. I don't know how much they're actually presenting on their phone, but with the technology today, including Microsoft Office 365 and the ability to have that same PowerPoint file on all these different devices, you can actually present from your phone, where I can have my phone connect to a projector or to a laptop wirelessly, and I can control the presentation from my phone. But, you know, it's great that you can have PowerPoint and Microsoft, you know, Excel and other things right even on a phone. It's not that useful unless you have a magnifying glass, but you can actually get some work done.
So I guess that's really my question. When you're designing PowerPoint now for various devices, did that change how you design it, or does PowerPoint automatically adjust? Is it responsive?
It is pretty responsive for viewing, and even when if you were viewing it on the small screen on an iPhone or an Android phone, you can zoom in to different areas of the slide. But when we're designing things, we're usually designing for a large screen or for a tablet or for a computer screen. If somebody was to tell me that they did want to present it from a small, you know, view, so it's really viewable on an iPhone, I'd probably change some of the design scale.
So why do you think that, you know, PowerPoint's been around for so many years? Why do you think this tool in particular has really stood the test of time, even though there's been a lot of other presentation tools that have kind of come and gone?
I think PowerPoint is sort of like email. You know, we even, when people call us about doing some of the other tools that can be used, you know, they say, I want, you know, instead of even saying slides, people say they want some PowerPoints. I'm not sure if that's good for Microsoft keeping their name. But it's lived out, PowerPoint is 25 years old, or about 25 years, going on its 26th year. I've been doing it since 25 years. And I think it has gone through its phases where people use it all the time, to people say, you know, they don't want it, you shouldn't use PowerPoint for meetings. But overall, it has lived this long and survived, and I think on an upward trend where people now even realize how powerful a tool it can be to add to their meeting communications, is because it's easy to use, it's very effective, and has helped in many instances. And I think people have seen some of the results of where when they have important meetings, important things, even if they send a PowerPoint, it's almost easier to send a PowerPoint and have somebody look at 25 slides than send a Word document and have them read through 25 pages.
Well, Marshall, appreciate you being on the show. If you have a high-stakes presentation, you got to use eSlide, www.eslide.com. Marsh, thanks so much.
All right, thanks very much, Barry.
This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
When elderly family require care, you insist on local medical professionals with specialized training in home services and nursing. Alliance Home Service is a leading family alternative to nursing home and institutional care. It's critical to ask the right questions when matching a caregiver to your loved one to maintain the most positive lifestyle for your entire family. Alliance Home Service is among a select group of Chicagoland companies providing in-home non-medical care such as hygiene, medication reminders, activities, and companionship and medical care. All caregivers have the highest level of training and expertise. You'll experience the cost efficiency of in-home care as well as the level of caring you expect from family. Call founder and registered nurse Linda Weiler at 866-227-3459 or visit AllianceCaregiver.com for a no-obligation family care consultation. Alliance Home Service, our family caring for your family. That's 866-227-3459 or AllianceCaregiver.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
What does it really take to build a successful business long term? Many experts have stated that there are two things that stand above everything else: passion and perseverance. But can you really succeed with just these two elements, or does it take more? My next guest is John Chisholm. He's the author of a book called Unleash Your Inner Company, Your Passion and Perseverance to Build Your Ideal Business. John, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here, Barry. Thank you.
So are passion and perseverance, we all know you got to have those, but are those overrated qualities that entrepreneurs need, or does it really come down to that?
I don't think they're overrated at all, but they are necessary and not sufficient. I remember well back in 2001, the dot-com bust, when we had to factor receivables to make payroll, lay off 40% of our workforce. I reduced my salary to minimum wage, and we had to move to smaller, more modest offices just to get through. And then September 11th happened, and it took an entire day just to make sure that all of our employees were still alive. But we made it through. And I attribute it to a combination of passion and perseverance. The two reinforce each other. That's something you don't hear much about. But one's an attitude, one's a behavior. And in many ways, our behaviors and passions reinforce each other. But they're not enough alone. And the two things that you really need to start a business are a real unsatisfied customer need and an advantage for satisfying that need. Now, if that need and that advantage are both within areas that you are passionate about, you will have a huge advantage. When you're passionate about the area you're working in, you bump up against the limitations of products and services currently available sooner than others do. And so you discover unsatisfied customer needs sooner than others do, and that gives you a huge advantage. It gives you the staying power to break through obstacles which will absolutely arise, and it's contagious to the other members of your team. So for all of these reasons, passion and perseverance is really essential, in my view.
So, John, the last question I want to ask you is, how do you make sure that your employees actually have these two qualities of passion and perseverance when you're interviewing them?
Well, I think it's a really good question. What have they demonstrated passion and perseverance about in the past? You know, that's a question I often include in a interview. What are you passionate about? And understanding that gives you a lot of insight about what makes the other person tick.
John, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they go and how can they get a copy of the book?
The book's on Amazon. It's a bestseller there. It's available in both Kindle and hard copy. It's Unleash Your Inner Company, Use Passion and Perseverance to Build Your Ideal Business, or visit our website, www.unleashyourinnercompany.com, or send a note to me, john@johnchismventures.com.
John, I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Barry.
And I want to thank everybody for being on this week's radio show. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors, Staples and Nextiva. I also want to thank our incredible staff that works tirelessly to put together this show every single week, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, and of course, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you are serious about getting your business unstuck, if you really want to be more successful this year, you got to give me a call. I've got a private line set up just for that. It's 773-837-8250, or you can send me a confidential email at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally move your business forward? Isn't this year you finally make the money that you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
So you've outgrown